8/34, date April 15th, and we're meeting in the Hess Committee Room. And the members present are Speaker Hayes, Representative Phillips, Representative Connell, and the chair. One member is absent, who is excused, Sally Smith, Representative Sally Smith. The agenda for this morning is House Bill 357, Act Relating to Adult Public Assistance, House Bill 590, an Act Increasing the Number of Superior Court Judges, House Bill 695, an Act Establishing a Temporary Board to Plan for the Establishment of a Permanent Fund, a Permanent Board of Employment Training and Vocational Education, and House Bill 696, an Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Board of Employment Training and Vocational Education Department of Education for Operation of the Board. We have some people here to testify, and I'm going to take the bill that there are people here, and I believe, is Ron Pettit here?
No, the governor is calling.
Are you sitting in for him?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. What is your name, sir?
Gordon Landis.
Okay, you want to sit up, and we'll hear, and we'll take House Bill 357, an Act Relating to Adult Public Assistance. And would you mind identifying yourself for the record, sir?
I'm Gordon Landis. I'm a Public Assistance Programs Officer for the Division of Public Assistance. Mr. Beatty was called into meeting on the permanent fund by the governor several minutes ago. Wanted to apologize for not being able to be here and to express his appreciation for your consideration of the bill. We have requested three minor amendments with some considerable significance out of proportion to the smallness of the words involved to 357, partly at the strong urging of the Department of Law and partly because our situation has changed in how we administer the programs involved in 357 and in how we would like to administer them. I'm not sure that you have a copy of the letter from Mr. Beatty to Representative Adams. That is the letter that suggests the three.
Yes, it is.
There is no hidden agenda here, I don't think, except to point out that at the moment we have a contract with the Manelik Association, which appears to be working exceptionally well, to serve as a kind of co-administrator of some of our programs in the Kotzebue Seward Peninsula region. And one of the things that Senator Ferguson, the other significant personages in that region and the corporation itself very much want to do is to be able to administer our adult public assistance programs. They feel that they can serve the people better than we because they are in more sites than we are in that area, and because they can assume with the federal government a client advocacy role to move it off of its rather slow-moving rollers. These amendments would clearly allow us to expand that contract to contract with the Manelik Association, and subsequently, if this experiment works to everyone's mutual satisfaction, to use that particular contract as a model operation to contract with other persons in the broad legal definitions of persons. The other portion that is very important to us is that there are several ways at various levels that we could contract some of the functions of adult public assistance to the federal government. Currently, we share the same clientele. We each send them checks. We each determine eligibility. The process is extremely cumbersome, very confusing to the client, very time-consuming, very complicated, and in an era of increasing penalties for welfare overpayments, errors, we feel it's an essential option to be able to consider if it won't affect service levels. To be able to divert our staff from duplicating the federal administration of the aged, blind, and disabled programs, and to take that staff time and effort and turn it into accuracy measures, and to improve our service levels in the other programs that need people. that's the agenda on suggestions 1 and 2, and on line 23, it was a simple matter that the law was looking for clearer wording.
Questions of Gordon Landis?
Gordon, right here on a, from Beatty's letter here, you're asking to, let's turn on page 1 here, and it says, page 2, line 12, says, well, page 2, line 13, it says, delete the word local preceding government, yet when you look on page 2, line 23, you're adding the word local government here. See what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be an inconsistency. Either it should be just government or just local government, because...
The reason for that, I think, is because 23 is calling for us to request proposals when we are contracting with anyone, including, if we were to delete local from line 13, the mm-hmm. federal government. And it would be simply a wasteful bureaucratic paper exercise to make a request for a proposal if we were suggesting contracting with the federal government.
So it's not in there?
No, I don't think so. It's that we didn't want to have to publish an RFP if we wanted to contract some of the functions of these programs to the federal government. Deleting local in 13 is specifically to allow us to contract with the entire array of persons and governments, from individuals through the Manila Corporation to the federal.
Representative O'Connell?
Just a question, sir, in your definition here of government, while reading the letter, it says, trust of all this would make it possible for the department to contract with federal agencies. That wouldn't be construed to include this new catch term of federally recognized entities, would it? We're talking specifically about...
No, it's my understanding, though, that those would be covered under the standard legal definition of persons,
which is already in the law.
That covers everything except for government.
All right.
Yeah. You were speaking particularly, say, of Native associations such as Manila? Yeah, our Assistant Attorney General informs us that that's covered under person. It surprised me that the legal definition of person doesn't match with the reason. He was quite clear on that point.
Okay. Are there any further questions of Mr. Landis? Thank you very much, sir. We have another person to testify, Margaret Branson. Would you identify yourself and who you're with and all that good jazz?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Margaret Branson, representing the Alaska Children's Services and Alaska Association of Children's Homes. We would make one small request on page 10, line 5. We
back
would
page.
Like to have the statute reference AS 4740 removed. We discussed this bill with Mr. Pettit, and we're certainly in favor of the bill, and it's really a necessary bill for the department. And we feel that this doesn't more than come under the same subject rule. And two, in order to take care of some of the problems that were voiced in regarding the child care costs, we have are working on a Senate bill with proper amendments. We feel that this total repealer with no enabling legislation at all is not quite the way to go.
You're saying that AS 47.40 is you don't want it in there?
That's
at
right.
The present time, because
right.
is it too broad a repeal?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have any thing to say on that, Gordon?
That's a matter of considerable significance in the Division of Social Services. It's not something that our division deals with, nor that I even understand the complex issue in the whole. I could get the Director of Division of Social Services very quickly.
What's the feeling of the committee? I feel we should
remove it.
Huh?
Remove it. Delete it.
you understand why we should delete it?
Not really. But it's pretty broad. I mean, if you're deleting 4740, and there's no other, if it's 4740 point something or another, then it'll be dead there.
We feel it adds a real complication to this bill, which is...
By repealing it.
If it's repealed, it, we have absolutely no problem.
That's the full cost of care that we...
This bill, 357, we have no concern, and we think it's a good bill, and it's certainly necessary. 4740 is the full cost of care provision. It's several sections long, and it's a total...
And the Finance Committee approved that up there, didn't they?
That's
in the
right.
Testimony?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not on the budget, yeah.
But it certainly is not the same subject, and it needs no enabling legislation at all for the full cost of care providers, which I would like to remind the committee are wards of the state.
Are there any questions?
In other words, if we repeal it, you're saying that so far there's no other language anywhere that would reinstate it. But there is a bill somewhere else that is working on overhauling it or remodeling
that's
it.
That's right.
Or whatever.
We have worked out an amendment to Senate Bill 651, which is satisfactory.
Any further questions of our friends? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman.
What's the pleasure of the committee? Representative Phillips?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we remove AS 47.40 from page 10, line 5.
Any objection? Hearing none, so moved. Somebody want to address the amendments here?
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if I can do this technically. I would like to move the language in Mr. Beatty's letter, page 2, line 12, page 2, line 13, page 2, line 23, and make it all one motion.
All right.
And ask for unanimous consent. On
any objection? Amendments are so moved. On the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we move out CSHB 357 finance. Well, it'll be rules now. But then
rules.
Out of committee and ask for unanimous consent.
As amended?
As amended.
Any objection? So moved.
Do we have these other two bills?
Yes.
695, 696?
No. We have a... is there anybody else to testify on any different bills that we got on the agenda? Okay. Then we'll take up House Bill 590, an act increasing the number of Superior Court judges. There's an amendment to this bill which would allow the court system to negotiate for lease or rental space in those communities where Superior Court judgeships are being created under legislation. By allowing the court system to negotiate for lease or rental space, the state is saving money by not having to construct a capital facility for each judgeship. Also, this encourages private enterprise to construct buildings rather than state-owned facility. This amendment to Senate Bill 590.
House
Bill.
There's a Rules Committee substitute here in the packet.
Right.
Right. We should be talking on the Rules Committee substitute.
Right.
And this amendment.
It isn't judiciary. Isn't it?
Yeah. Is,
why isn't the judiciary bill in here? Then?
The only difference between the original bill and the Rules Committee substitute is the Section 2.
Right.
Yes. Randy, I think we just passed in judiciary, we just passed the Senate. I don't think the rest of
the... We didn't. No. Okay, that's what I want to
put that part of this next amendment. Okay. Is there... Is there any question on the this amendment, which we put in already in the rules substitute?
Mr. Chairman, I move the rules committee substitute.
We have one more amendment. I'd like to have this rules committee substitute accepted with that amendment in it. Would you like to move that we accept that?
Which is the other amendment? It is.
I haven't addressed the second amendment yet.
Oh, excuse me. Then I'll go ahead.
We'll just wait till. There's another amendment that has been proposed, and the second amendment upgrades the district court judge in Valdez to a superior court judge. This increases the number of superior court judges to 27, which is in line line 10. And with 14, line 12 in the third judicial district. According to the director of court system, this upgrade will cost $22,000. Now, I believe, Linda, didn't you tell me that on the Senate side they had already... Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The Rules Committee substitute, and as it's written, and of course the amendment you're talking about as well, will require this to go to finance now, I take it, because...
Well, it wouldn't require it to go to finance, I believe, if we do not accept the Second Amendment.
Section 2 doesn't have any...
No. So I think all it is allocating the designated space.
Who's recommending the Second Amendment?
The Art Snow in the court system. However, I wonder, for the sake of time, if we kick it back to finance. I definitely believe this is a good amendment here, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't make a measurement here and say, you know, what's more important? Does the bill go through, or does it go to finance and then go through all the process? I think a judgment calls me.
Well, I'd say, you know, let's proceed with the bill, and then if the representative from that particular area can offer an amendment on the floor and declare it'll cost $22,000, and if it's accepted, fine.
Well,
if we don't proceed, we're going to lose this bill.
Well, I agree with you. I think that'd be good judgment. And also, I didn't mention, but that other change in the rules committee substitute was the effective date.
Yeah,
we had to change that. I'll entertain a motion on the bill as it has been amended in, or has been prepared in rules.
I would so move.
Any objection? So moved.
Chairman, I'm going to have to leave.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, and thank you for coming down. We got through two, which is better than nothing.
Well, you take the other two.
That's fine.
Reconvene.
I didn't adjourn yet. I just passed the bill.
Okay. Are you going to do those two, Jay?
Yes. Okay. We should be here anyway.
Eric.
No, I think if we would have, you know, they threw that zinger on me.
Yeah,
the last
I was
minute,
surprised
22
to hear
grand,
that one myself.
Well, you know, maybe you can do that stuff on the Senate side, but we can't do it.
Well, I thought it might have came from Cato's office.
Well, you know.
But I figured, you know, I'll put it on the floor.
Okay. See here?
Yeah.
Okay, our next... our next bill is Aaron Sutcliffe's, what's that, 350?
695, 696, and 696.
It's right here.
Yeah. 696 is the appropriation bill.
Oh, here we go.
Right?
Okay, pardon?
696 is the appropriation bill, right?
Yeah, the money's right in it, yeah.
Oh, is it all in one bill now? 696, oh, here it is, I see it. 58,000
companion bills, yeah. The 696 is the appropriation. Okay, we're taking up committee substitute for House Bill 695 and 696. Eric Sutcliffe, Representative Sutcliffe is here to testify.
For the record, my name is Eric Sutcliffe, Representative of District 15. 695 and 696 have gone through the committee process. I have a feeling that any further possibility of them going any further is very remote. Creating a separate board of vocational education, it's my intent to hopefully to propose an amendment or to ask somebody to propose an amendment that would put in what was last year had gone through the committee process, House Bill 240, which was to set up a task force of vocational education to look at a much broader range of problems and possible legislation to address the vocational education issue. It was the 695 dealt strictly with a group of people to study the possibility and the problems and positive parts of a separate board of vocational education. That would be very narrow in scope. We think that we can do the same for the exact same fiscal note. We can pick up at 240, which would allow them to look at a separate board, but also to look at other problems and other solutions to those problems. You have in your packet there.
Okay. Representative Phillips, are you saying that this now this sheet on top of the whole packet is the recommended change?
Yes, and that's most of the almost word for word with a few changes from what is now 240, House Bill 240, which
okay.
Went to the committee process last year.
Okay, then is there any real opposition to this now?
There's very little opposition to that, whereas there's
right.
Considerable opposition to a separate board.
Okay.
So DOE is supportive of the of 240 and very anti 695.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that.
As is the governor's office, and it's so I don't want to. If there's a chance that this might move, I do not want to move a bill that's going to get my head to the bone.
Representative Phillips,
if it's appropriate, I'd like to move this recommended language as the House Rules Committee substitute for House Bill 695.
We'll move it out, and why don't you just get the draft and approve it, if you have any questions.
Oh, I don't have any questions. I know what this is all about.
Okay.
So co-sponsored the bill.
Yeah. Okay. You can just check the draft and make sure it's what
right.
You want. All
okay.
Right.
So I'll just move House Rules Committee substitute for HB 695.
Okay. Hearing no objection, so moved. The appropriation bill was 696, and that was 58 grand for. This is just more of a study and stuff. Is that right, Eric?
Yeah. It would be, let me show you this on 696.
It's 58,000 for
right.
I've got it right here.
Oh, okay, you got it too.
You want me to do?
Well, we need a title change that would on 696.
Okay.
Don't
Mr. Chairman,
those ready?
Mr. Chairman, are we
want to end it right here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we having another committee substitute or draft coming through on 696?
Yes.
Also?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, then I would. Okay. Let me just. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I would move to change the title, or amend the title, I should say, by replacing the words Board of Employment Training and Vocational Education, Department of Education, with Vocational Education and Employment Training Task Force, Office of the Governor.
Is that your desire?
Yes.
And I would
any
ask
objections?
Consent.
So moved.
Mr. Chairman, then I would also like to move for the Rules Committee substitute for HB 696 out of the committee and ask for Dan's consent.
Any objection?
Okay.
So moved. Rules Committee is adjourned.
Yeah, I think
okay.
So, but I didn't know.
You're sitting there.
This is not exactly